We're going to be in Proverbs 24 again tonight. Proverbs 24. We are working our way speedily through Proverbs 24, like one or two verses a week. Amen. So we want to... I appreciate when we have a few people over here, because looking over here, I'm going to get a crick in my neck. You know, and then Brother John's going to feel like he's an outcast. So anyhow, when we started, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. This is more people in here tonight than it was the first Wednesday night we came in here. And I think there was about six or eight people in here. And now we have this many, and then we've got, I don't know how many kids are back there, probably six or eight kids there, and then with the teen class, there's probably five or six back there, and then the adults back there, and then discipleship back there. We got stuff going on all over. Amen. Isn't that exciting? It's so good. God will do a work if we'll do our part. Amen. And a big part of our part is what we just did tonight is pray. Pray and pray for them. And I want this to be more than just the time that these kids come and play. They're going to come and play. They're going to have fun. And I do want that too. I want kids. One thing I want in church, I want kids to want to come back. Right? Because, you know, come tell a kid, hey, you want to go learn and study? You know, probably after they've been in school all day, probably not. But what happens is you come and they have a good time. And then you teach them something, and all of a sudden they're learning something about things of God, and they didn't realize they were studying, you know. And so I love it. I love it. Same thing for you. You want to come study tonight, right? Amen. Amen. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 11. I'll read two verses tonight. It says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? All right, we're gonna deal with this tonight. Here it's one sentence. You know, we've gotten to this place. There's a place right here in really chapter 23, 24, and it goes into it a little bit in 25, 26, but mainly right here in chapter 24 is this. There's really these one sentence truths that Solomon is trying to give to his son. And as we deal with this thing, what we're talking about here is we're trying to find a place. We're trying to get to this thing of realizing of this is what we want to say is passing on wisdom. Passing on wisdom. That's why we've titled this series Passing on Wisdom. We're passing it on. Doesn't mean we're passing it. Passing wisdom, right? It means we're Solomon in the book of Proverbs is Solomon giving wisdom to his son, right? And God, godly wisdom, right? Wisdom comes from the Word of God, comes from God. So he's giving these pieces, and it's pieces, right? It's not a book like other books. It's not a history book. It's just pieces of wisdom, Proverbs we call them, that he gives these pieces of wisdom to his son. And God inspired it to what he's given him here. And so God has preserved this for us to have this wisdom that he was passing on, that it might be passed on to us. And some of these things, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. So there's 31 Proverbs. You could read one proverb a day, every day. And you get to the end, and on the month that there's only 30 days, you skip one. No, okay. On that day, you read two, or whatever. But you could read one every day of them and just go back and start over again. You could read it, and some people do that over and over and over again, and you'll still get there, and somebody will say, and you're like, I don't know what that means. Right? That's why we're studying. That's why we've been studying this for coming up on 2 years now. And so we'll spend time. And when we're done, we may even go back again. We'll see what happens. There's a lot. We haven't covered every verse. That would take us a while, but we're doing a little bit here. So number one, those ready to be slain. Those ready to be slain. That's a weird phrase, but of course we have these different phrases to be slain. So A, under that, most Bible scholars believe this to be in reference to a judicial situation. The verbiage that's used here, it's the reference, and they're trying to give us a picture. Okay, the Scripture's giving us a picture here. Remember, the Proverbs aren't promises. They're truths of wisdom. Okay, sometimes we say, you know, mom and dad will say, well, the Bible says, raise your children the way they should, you know, in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Well, it's not a promise. It's a point of wisdom, of truth. It says, this is how life works. Now, are there times that doesn't work? Absolutely, it has to work like that because we have free will. We can't say, God, I did this. Now they have to be saved. Well, then we've snatched their free will. God says, I'm not going to snatch that from them. But here's what wisdom teaches. If we do this, this is the normal outcome. Okay? And so we're trying to find, by the way, isn't that what we teach our kids? Isn't that what we teach each other? Isn't that what we want to learn? We teach somebody else, hey, you know, if you do this, if you're doing some mechanic work, you tell somebody, hey, if you do this, and you know how many times I've prayed underneath a vehicle? God, this bolt's about to be stripped. And once you strip a bolt in an engine, you got to give somebody that really knows what they're doing. Drill it out and all this. I can't afford. I'm laying down here underneath this thing in the cold pavement because mostly I lived up and because I can't afford to pay somebody. I'd be, Lord, help me with this. And then I would crack it. I've had a lot of praying and rejoicing underneath an engine. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Just thank the Lord. And I don't know why I said that, but. Oh, I know. I say, so we tell people some things and say, hey, if you do it this way, right, then it's gonna work out. And so sometimes it doesn't, but this is the way. Okay, number one, where there is someone, it's referenced to, it's kind of a continuation. It's a judicial situation. Number one, where there is someone that is being drawn, meaning or taken away unto death. Okay, this is the idea. Someone's being taken away unto death. The picture here that they're trying to give us is this situation that somebody is going to their execution. They've broken some law. They're on their way to an execution. And in those days, they would have a thing that they would say, does anybody have anything to kind of... The judicial system was a little bit different then, but it would be, does anybody have any witness to say why this person didn't do it? That's kind of the reference that's kind of be given here. I want you to get this though, not that that is the only time to deliver them, but rather in even the worst of situations. So what we're getting here is a picture of the worst of situations. Somebody's about to die. They're about to be executed. They're coming to, I mean, really, they're literally on the way of being dragged over to be finished. Okay, so what we're saying is even to the very end, we ought to be, and this is the point it's making, not only when they get to the very end, but even at the very end, at the very worst of situation, it doesn't get any more desperate than to be ready to be slain. Okay, to be ready to be slain. So this is kind of the picture we're getting here. Number two, let me say this. This is not an argument against capital punishment. Okay? Under that. The Word of God is very clear on that issue throughout the Old Testament. Okay? God is very clear. If somebody does this, death. You do this, death. God is not against capital punishment. Amen? I want to say, the Word of God is not against capital punishment. That's not what this is talking about. Oh, let's snatch them out of that. No, no. If somebody has done this thing, then they are deserving of the consequence that comes with that. But again, it's given us the idea of even the most desperate of situations. Number three, there seems to be the idea here that this person that we're talking about is innocent. It's the blank, innocent. There seems to be the idea that this person is innocent of whatever charge or blame that is against them. Look again at verse 11. He says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. Okay, so here's what he's dealing with. I want to get a set up a little bit with what's kind of the picture, but now let's get into what he's really saying here. Number two, which brings us to number two. If you refuse, that's what the word forbear means. It means if you refuse, this is what he's talking about. He's trying to get us into this. The inference here is that you have the ability to deliver them. Okay? Now, that's where I get the idea and understanding that they were innocent. Because if you have the ability to deliver, do you have the ability to deliver someone guilty? No, we don't have that. Well, I'm just going to get you out of this one. No, we don't break God's law to meet another one of His laws. Right? Two wrongs don't make a right. You know, if somebody sinned, it's committed a crime that's worthy of death, according to the Word of God, we don't have the ability to get them out of that. They have to pay the consequence. Okay? Sometimes things do happen, but what I'm talking about here is this is when you have that ability. So number one, Solomon is given this instruction and wisdom in the occasion that you could deliver someone, but refuse to. Okay? So it's in this context that we established what this proverb is talking about. You have the ability to deliver someone, but you refuse to. You forbear. You withhold what you could have done to do that. Now, I want you to, we're going to talk about this, but this, the scope goes beyond getting somebody off a death row. Okay. The scope goes beyond, I think it goes into any area. We're going to see that. We're going to get in the New Testament some places and see it there too. But what I want us to see here is what's talked about here is you could do something. You could deliver them, but you refuse. Number three. Oh, let's go verse 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Okay, Roman numeral 3 here, point number 3. The power of a lame excuse. The power of a lame, L-A-M-E. It's a lame excuse. So, A, this is maybe the most used excuse in the human vocabulary, right? What is it? I didn't know, right? That's the blank there under number one. I didn't know. There's a Latin phrase, ignorantia juris non excusat. Yeah, or close to something like that. It really means this, be ignorant of the law excuses no one. So, in other words, this, you can't plead ignorance as a defense. I didn't know the law. Well, tough. You should have. That's the, you know, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. Well, you should have. This is part of life. Isn't that, it's kind of a little scary, isn't it? In some respects. But by the way, I did look this up. I researched this a little bit. For the most part, this is true. Ignorance is not a defense. The only time it's not true, or not specifically true, is if the law is a little bit off from what it normally is. Like if you're in a place, oh, I didn't know about that specific law in this specific locale. But what we're talking about here is this concept of the ignorance of it is no exception. So not knowing the law does not exempt someone from responsibility. Right? I didn't know I was supposed to feed my kid every day. I didn't know I was supposed to send my kid to school. Come on. Right? Can you see a judge saying, come on. You want to try again? Because that one doesn't work here. So, number two. If civil law doesn't accept it, I think it is reasonable to understand that God doesn't either. Okay? I think if civil law said, no, we don't accept ignorance, I think it's reasonable. I think it's reasonable to say God doesn't accept ignorance either. Well, I just didn't know God. Come on. Right? Matter of fact, the Bible tells, we can't get into everything tonight, but the Bible tells us God has written His law on our heart. It's in our conscience. So we know that, you know, why does the kid, when they go to grab something, they know they're not supposed to be like, you know, right? It's in our conscience, in our heart, right? So, A, was that? You're right. So, A, this is what we might call a frivolous excuse. Frivolous just means it's not a real excuse. It's empty. It's pointless. It's not a real excuse. I like to say, I don't know is a placeholder excuse. One we insert out of casualness. Oh, you know, oh, I didn't know. Right? We almost can use it as a, I didn't know. Like, frivolous, foolish is kind of another word for frivolous. It's kind of this goofiness, like, oh, I didn't know that wasn't, yeah. Seriously, you didn't know that last piece of cake was mine? Right? You knew that was mine, right? And so, oh, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. Come on. You ever have somebody say, oh, I didn't know anybody was sitting there. There's a, where were we at? Where were we at? We were somewhere. I'm trying to remember. We were somewhere. I know where we were at. We were at the airport. This happened. This just happened. My mind just remembered this story. We were at the airport, and with my credit card, because of the certain credit card I have, I get free access into the lounge. What? That's pretty cool. You go in there. I mean, it's not really that nice of a lounge, but they have food, free food and coffee. So we're in there, but it's packed. It's packed. So we're sitting in there. And we're sitting in there, and it's pretty full. We found a place, and then we got there just before the crowd came. So it started filling up. And there's a guy who was over here. He was sitting there. He had his bags there. He had one of these thermos cups. It was just a chair, and he's sitting like, there's a chair here. He has his bags over here, and he has his cup sitting right here. And this family comes in, and they come in, and there's no seats except for this guy was up at the getting more food. Bad move. Anyway, no. She comes up. She looks around. She sits down. And we're watching. My wife and I are watching. We were sitting over here. I moved over to another chair. Another couple could sit next to each other. We're sitting here looking. And my wife's, oh, this ain't going to go good. Right? And the other couple over there, they're just like, you know, we don't know. She'd say something. Yeah, you know, I don't know any of these people. They're all strangers, right? And so this lady comes, sits down, and here a guy comes back. He has a plate of food, and he's come back. He said, oh, that, you know, I was sitting there. She's like, there wasn't anything in the chair. He said, yeah, you know, my cup's there, my bag's there. So, yeah, but there wasn't anything in the chair. She refused to get up. And my wife's just like, oh, no, I'm like, I don't even want to look. You know what I'm saying? It's just the whole thing is, and this other, y'all know that. It's a super awkward situation, and so then my wife, she does this. She said, yeah, he was sitting there. The other lady over there, like, yeah, he was. So some other people kind of like said, yeah, he was sitting there. His stuff is there. And she refused. She said, really what she was saying, oh, I didn't know. So her husband, and they spoke another language. I'm not going to say which one. They spoke another language, came over, and I started speaking to her husband. And her husband comes up and said, oh, did you leave anything in the chair? Like, he mimicked her. You know that dude was like, oh, I got to do it. My wife wants me. Anyway, I don't know doesn't work, folks. It's a placeholder. We insert it out of casualness. And I'll tell you, it's kind of the worst thing. Don't you hate that when somebody uses it? Oh, I didn't know. Like that's, oh, I didn't know. Now I'm exempt from responsibility. Man, I got to move on. Okay, let me move on. B, likely the true reason is for our own lack of care and interest for the one in need, right? Likely the reason we'd say I didn't know is because I didn't want to know. I don't have any interest. I don't even care. We might say something like this. I just don't want to get involved. That sounds so convenient, doesn't it? I just don't want to get involved. And I get that. I don't want to get involved in anything. I'm surprised my wife hasn't got me beat up by now. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, stay out of it. You know, we've been to some crazy places. I just about got killed one day. I was at a garage sale. This was many, many years ago, 20 plus years ago. I was at a garage sale. You know, back in the day, remember when we used to keep our flip phones on our belt? I had a flip phone on my belt because it was cool. That's where you know, I don't know. I just did what everybody else did. Came with a holder, so you're not supposed to do that. And some lady comes walking up. Can I use your phone? I need to call the cops. I'm like, we're at somebody's house. I'm like, what? You know, she's seeing my phone. I'm like, you know, why don't you go use these people? They're like, no, you ain't use my phone. I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm talking to this lady. She said, you know, this my boyfriend over here is over there. He's hitting me or something. I don't know what the whole deal. This dude comes. He gets in his car. I mean, just across the street. They're at a laundromat. Flies over and gets that. And I'm like, oh, man, what did I get myself into? And I didn't get him. I didn't do anything. I'm just there, you know. And he comes out. This dude gets out. His muscles had muscles. I mean, he didn't have a neck because it was all muscle. And I thought, I'm going to die. And their eyes looked like they had been doing drugs. You know, I'm thinking, I'm in trouble. And I'm thinking, Lord, just let it be one hit and then let me wake up and survive this. I'm not getting it. So all I said, thankfully, I was driving the church van at that day. And I pointed to, I said, hey, I'm just here with the church. I said, I'm just trying to, I don't even know the situation, I'm trying to help. And he said, and he had enough fear of God, he turned around and didn't kill me that day. But, you know, sometimes you find yourself in the middle of stuff. And, you know, I just, not getting involved. There's some things we ought to not get involved in. Amen. We'll get to that later, maybe. Okay, see, when speaking of our faith, James gives us an illustration. Keep your marker here, some string or something there. But turn over to James chapter 2. I want you to look back there. James chapter 2, we've covered the book of James in the past, but I want us to see here, James chapter 2 and verse 15, he's talking about this thing in our faith. Verse 15, he said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So here's what James is saying. Some of this thing about faith, but he's given this kind of illustration. What good is it to speak of our goodness, but not provide a need? I mean, like, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, I just, you know, hey, listen, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will take care of your need. Why we have the wherewithal, the way we could. By the way, am I saying we need to take care of every need that comes our way? Man, we'd all be broke. Okay, I'm not talking about that. Matter of fact, it's not always just money. Sometimes it's our time. I'm not saying everybody that comes up, we ought to meet their needs. Sometimes people say yes to everything. They ought to say no a little more often. I'm not talking about that. But we're talking about this kind of thing that says you could meet a need and you say, I'm not going to. We're going to get to this specifically, what this is kind of dealing with a little bit in a moment. But let's continue on here. The Lord spoke of how we treat others is actually how we are treating Him. Go turn over with me to Matthew 25. We're going to see this real clear over here in Matthew 25. Many of you are familiar with this passage. Matthew 25 and verse 31. He says this. This is a longer passage, but I need to read the whole thing to get the context here. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Where's His glory? In heaven, right? And all the holy angels with Him. Okay, yeah, it is heaven, right? Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. All right, we see the picture, right, where He's at. He said, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He said, here's what's going to happen. When He gets there in that time, it's going to be that time for judgment. He's going to separate the sheep, like a shepherd does the sheep from the goats. He's going to separate them out. And then in verse 33, he says, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. I mean, who would want to be, if you're thinking this, wouldn't you want to be on the right? I mean, who would say politically, now I want to be on the left? I mean, yeah, anyhow. I'm just a little bit of it. Okay, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. This is what Jesus is going to say. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, and or thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That doesn't sound so nice. That's the goat side. All right? For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister? When did we do that and not minister to you? Could you imagine saying, if we'd have known that was you, we'd have done it. Right? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, I don't want us to get too much in this. So if we don't do stuff, we're going to hell. The picture of what he's trying to show us is not exactly that. The picture he's trying to show us is God says, when you minister to my people, you're ministering to me. And when you refuse to minister to my people, you're refusing to minister to me. When you forbear, you're forbearing me, is what he's saying. It's what the context here. I want us to think of this passage in this way. The Lord doesn't accept ignorance as an excuse. When did we do that, Lord? Well, we didn't know. Doesn't work. Am I right? Doesn't work. Could we maybe say that remaining in ignorance is maybe actually the fault that we're making? What I mean by that is, I didn't know isn't an excuse, it's a condemnation. I should have known. So when I say, well, I didn't know, well, you should have done something so that you did know. Right? And it's not an excuse. Maybe if instead of saying, so here in this room, none of us are going to use that excuse again, right? We're going to, right? One time I'm saying, so here's what I want us to get to is this. When the point comes to you did something, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that, is not the right answer. Maybe in this context, maybe the right answer is something like this. I should have known that, and I'm sorry that I transgressed on that. See how it's kind of different? I don't know is not an excuse. It's not an excuse that God's going to accept. Here's number four. Number four is this. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Let's go back to Proverbs. Back to Proverbs 24. The Lord knows. Verse 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? So, hey, here's the thing. The Lord knows what is truly in our heart. He knows. That's A. When we are giving an excuse for refusing or help another, why don't we just think of the Lord standing right there next to us with eyebrows raised, kind of catch his eyebrows raised, looking at us like, seriously, and shaking his head, that face, look on his face of discipline. Just, why don't we, when we're refusing to help somebody that we could, we're saying, yeah, I didn't really know. You see, just imagine the Lord saying, what? I don't think he'd say what, but I think that's what I'd say. What? Are you kidding me? So number one, often it is our own self-preservation that is the primary motivator for not getting involved. For not getting involved is the blank there. We are trying to preserve self. B, we should understand that it is the Lord that is the keeper of our soul. So what the Scripture says, that He's the keeper of our soul. Number one, we need not fear what is risked when we are obedient to His will. When we realize that He's the keeper of my soul, if I'm going to be obedient to His will, what I'm risking, He's the one keeping. Do I need to help Him keep my soul? We think like that. This doesn't mean we plunge into foolishness and tempting God. Well, God, I'm just going to do this. And God's going to, thou shalt not dash thy feet, against the stone. We could get this kind of thing. But we do not fear to preserve ourselves by refusing to help others. I don't want to get involved with it. This is not wisdom. It's foolishness. This is, I don't want to get involved when I could. If our whole desire is just to preserve myself from it. Okay? Two, we cannot exist even for a moment without the providence of God. He is the keeper of our soul. And under that, eight, we are safe in the way of duty, not so much in the way of neglect of duty. Okay? So we're safe when we do what God wants, but when we refuse it, not quite as much. If our lives become exposed in the service of the Lord, He can preserve us. God can compensate our loss of whatever's taken from us. Do not be so afraid of getting ripped off that you can't trust anyone. They're just trying to rip me off. Maybe sometimes we just have to get ripped off to reach somebody for Christ. Or not just to reach, maybe sometimes, I know there's people that are lying to me at times. They're trying to trick me. I'm not stupid. I'm not saying I always catch it. Sometimes, I'm not saying I'm beyond that. But sometimes, to be able to glorify our Father which is in heaven, let them see good works. We're gonna do. We've had people come up here, and they want gas money because they need help to get, probably to Disney. What I'm saying? I don't know what they say different things. Sometimes we'll help them. I tell people, I say, if you come to a service and let us know your need in the next service, come again. My goal is to get people in for two services and we'll help them with something or other. I don't rarely help somebody that didn't come to church, but so they have to come to church to get something? Well, kind of. If they'll sit in here and let me share the gospel with them, maybe I'll get them to take a gas. You say, so you're bartering for it? Well, kind of, yeah. I know that, and I've had people give, they said, we're going to come back. We're coming back, and you never see it. I know they're not coming back, but if I get one opportunity, it's okay. So, can God replace what somebody else takes from us? If we trust Him, we can. See, the Lord will render, is what it says there, meaning He will return to us according to His work, according to our work, is what He says. At the very end, it says, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? Okay, number one, the Lord doesn't forget what we do in service for Him. He doesn't forget. Nor does He forget what we withhold from Him. Man, I got too much stuff tonight. I am terrible. I was thinking, man, this is going to be a short one. I'm just going to give you these blanks. You go look up these verses later in Galatians. Be not mocked. Let me just give you the blanks. Nor does He forget what we withhold from Him. A. B. When we refuse to help, when we have the ability, we will reap corruption in our lives. Let's just turn there because I need to turn there to get the last part. It's not going to make sense. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, so when we refuse to help, when we have the ability, we will reap corruption in our lives, is what he's talking about. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, number two, the Lord will give us the harvest if we faint not. Remember we talked about last week, fainting means to draw back, to withhold. It's this: if we faint not, God, the harvest is going to come. A, He will repay, but it is according to our works for Him, okay, in our spirit for Him. D, there is a final instruction given to us in the New Testament right here. There's a final instruction, is D. Verse 10 says this: as we have therefore opportunity, let us do what? Good unto who? All men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay? Number one, there is a priority. There is a priority. The word especially means chiefly or above all. It's talking about a priority. A, the priority in this truth is toward those of the household of faith. B, this should start with, not fellows, but fellow believe. I messed that up. This should start with fellow believers in our church. Okay, I want you to catch this and we're done. I know you're done with your blanks, but I got a few more things. 2 minutes, 5 minutes, a few minutes. I want to say this, and I want you to catch this part. You can tune in now. Sorry we had to get through that, but I wanted to get to this. So many believers spend most of their time, their effort, and their resources on making provision for those outside of what God has here established. Has God established this? But so many do it out there that there is nothing left to meet the need that He has designated it for. So many times they'll spend their time, their resources, their effort, On that outside, and man, if you start giving to people, they'll call and write and send, and people do that, and they'll take up your time. But God has purposed something here. I'm not saying that we're not to give and meet needs outside the church. That's not what I'm saying. You get that? I'm not saying that we don't meet needs outside of our church. But I like to stick with what the Bible says here. So when I'm kind of trying to explain something, like, let's just go ahead back to what the Bible says here. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's what he says. He puts something here in the New Testament that's specific for us to see. We are the only ones that are in this thing together. If we cannot meet one another's needs, or if we cannot get our needs met from one another here, then unto whom do we turn? By the way, when we meet one another's needs here within the body, within the church, what we're doing, we're not meeting people say, man, that person's so great. No, this is why a lot of times what we do is we take up a love offering for somebody to come in. So it's not hand to hand. It's like, man, that person's so great. No, it's the Lord is great. Right? The Lord is great. And what it ends up, if we can't meet the needs among one another here, as he says, especially here, then where does somebody go to? Well, I tried, I wish I had about another 15 minutes, but I'm going to finish in about one. I hate when somebody comes and say, I asked folks at my church and nobody would help me. So I'm asking somebody else. Like, thinking, wow, what kind of body is that? It's not one too fitly joined together. And I'm not talking about a ridiculous need. I'm talking about sometimes it's basic needs. We're talking about food and raiment. We're talking about like bread and, I mean, meeting their needs. Could you imagine somebody sitting here in our church hungry? And while the rest of us are at home eating well, I mean, man, I don't think there's much more gross than that. 1 Corinthians talks about that. They were doing that. Some were eating well and some were barely eating anything. And by the way, sometimes that's the case. I mean, you might eat steak and I'm eating a hamburger. That's okay. I'm eating. But if you're eating a steak, I'm eating a hamburger, and they're eating fingernail dirt, there's a problem. It's a problem. And they ought to be able to come in. And by the way, I'm not talking about, man, I need a new car, but who's going to give me that? Well, we're not talking about ridiculous stuff. I'm talking about meeting needs. Here's the thing, folks. We're in this together. Not because we chose it, but because God chose for this for us. God chose the church, the body. This is God's plan. Well, I just don't think we need that. I don't care what you think about that. I don't care what somebody else thinks about this. This is what God said in His Word. We're in this thing together. Aren't you glad? I'm glad you're in it with me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful. Thankful for your word. Thankful for these Proverbs. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to really make this a part of our life. And that, Lord, as we see these things throughout your word, that it would really impact us in a great way. And Lord, thank you for what you're doing here at Heritage Baptist Church among this body of people. I pray that you'd continue it. And we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name.